Oh boy, what an absolute shit weekend for Croatian football. Ante Kvartuć here, CroatianSports.com, with the collector Ante Zoric, with the great godfather of Croatian sports, Peter Novakovic. Boys, let's get right to it. How depressed, sad, mad are you from that 1-0 loss to Turkey and 2-1 loss to Wales in qualifying this week?
I mean, if you're asking if I'm surprised, I'm not, because this is something that we've done with under all our coaches at different times. You know, when you look back, I think the only qualifying we really cruised in was Euro 96. We finished first in the group above Italy. After that, it was always a struggle.
World Cup 2006, we cruised through that one. Everything else?
We've gone to 5 playoffs, I think.
Yeah.
Major tournaments.
Why is it in Zoric? Why is it like in our DNA that we have to make things difficult? Why?
I just think it's that Croatian mentality. Going and, you know, they go into the game and they're saying, oh, we beat them in Turkey. You know, they have this, you know, we'll take care of it easy instead of being focused and going out there and giving it your all. Because the two games that I watched a Turkey team and a Wales team that wanted it more than us.
100%.
They were first to every ball.
100%.
Pressing us. They just look like more intense. I just didn't see the fire from our players. They didn't look like they wanted to play. Look, and when they did want to play, you know, 70th minute against
too
Wales,
late.
When we started.
Too late.
We were touching it. We were getting forward.
Look, this is an unpopular opinion with both of you. I think Dalic told the team Wednesday night in Osijek, like, Lagano, we'll get a draw, maybe a draw or two. We're going to control the table going into November. No injuries. Modric isn't playing right now. We have tons of injuries, new players, and that backfired hugely on him. Both first halves look like we were playing friendlies against these guys. Both first halves, your favorite word, Pete, toothless.
Yeah.
Toothless.
Yeah, we weren't, you know, I agree with Ante on a lot of the points of...
Which one?
Zoric. I agree with... That's right. I have two Antes I'm dealing with. So, but that's very frustrating, being a fan of the Croatian national team and a supporter. So we fall back into these doldrums. We go back into a place that we've all seen now over the last 15, 20 years with the Croatian national team. We'll go through this almost menopause of soccer where we don't play to the level that we're accustomed to. I think it's a real shock for a lot of people who haven't seen Croatia prior to 2018 in the World Cup, because since 2018 in the World Cup, you know, we've usually been ranked in the top 10 in the world. You know, anybody that came to play Croatia was always on notice that, hey, this team could do something. You know, you saw us repeat that again, so it wasn't a mistake in the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. You know, and you knock off one of the heavy, heavy favorites in Brazil and barely lose to Argentina, who wins the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So to see a Croatia go from a December like that.
Plus Nations League, Pete.
Plus Nations League final. Make it to the final, beat Holland in Holland, you know, make it to the final, make it to penalties against Spain.
Yeah.
You know, it's shocking to see this team that 3 or 4 months ago was in a Nations Cup final, you know, not be able to beat average teams. Turkey.
Just beat a draw or two is no problem this week. We're on the outside looking in for automatic Euro qualifying. But I want to ask both of you this. A lot of injuries. We could talk about injuries. We didn't have a lot of veterans in there. Ivanušić, Kramaric wasn't there.
Perisic
is out for the season. Who's most to blame? Who you putting the finger at number one this week?
I mean, you have to blame Dalic. I think you know, it's his job as a coach to set up the team to win and motivate the team, and the team did not look motivated. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes there, but our midfield, which usually is where we kind of dominate, we were just outplayed. We were outplayed, outrun, out hustled.
But
no creativity. I saw a lot of static. Poor movement.
How many balls did we play back?
Sloppy.
Backwards. We played backwards half the games.
A lot of sloppy play. I don't know if we couldn't handle the pressing, the physicality, the running of these younger, you know, these younger players, younger teams.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask yourself, is this the right midfield going forward? You really have to ask yourself that.
I thought this was going to be the swan song for for all three of them, minus Kovacic, for Euro 2024. And shit, we're on the outside looking in to automatically qualify right now.
That's the most horrific thing about this whole message this weekend. I mean, you have a superstar, a legend of soccer, who's going to be retiring probably in the next year from the national team, in Luka Modric. And this is the way you're going to send him out? This is his go-away party? Not to qualify for the Euros?
We're going to qualify. We'll get to that in a second. He specifically said
he stayed for, so he can help Croatia. And yet, him as a 38-year-old is killing himself. And he didn't play great, but I think he had to cover a lot of ground. I think he had to try to motivate people. And that is the coach's job. Dalic's job is to give these guys a sense of urgency, a sense of what your job is, what you have to get done. You know what? I don't care what he thought in his head, maybe, if he thought this wasn't the strongest lineup or whatever he thought, and he had injuries to deal with. But you have to have a message for every game. You have to have a game plan for every game. And what frustrates me is I don't think for either of these games we had a specific game plan against those teams. It looked like we didn't know how to play against Turkey. They sure knew how to play against us.
It was awful.
They closed us down everywhere. They high-pressed us. We lost balls in the back. They played counterattack soccer perfectly.
Yep.
And they had us on the wrong foot every time with those long balls. I mean, I'll tell you what, Guardiola, listen, he was caught a lot of times getting too far up and too high up. And
everyone was on their own island, Pete. It was 11 players playing by themselves. Look, let me ask you both this question. From the two games, pick the player that played the best for Croatia in the past two games. Exactly.
I can't do that. But
I know.
But I do know that Livakovic was very disappointing. For me, to get, you know, to get stupid goals like that coming out, I mean, that first goal,
pedestrian.
He had no reason to come
out. He's 40 yards out.
No reason. And I watched it before this just to see. Our defender was not that far away.
I know.
He was not coming by himself to, you know what I'm saying?
They don't score if he doesn't come out.
We don't know that, but I think
the chances are too,
if he's on his line, I think our player catches him and he slows him down. You know, he slows him down. It was just really, really poor.
What did you say right before we got on the pod about Livakovic and where he plays? What did you just tell me?
Well, I told you there's a reason why he's not at a top 5 or top 10 club in Europe. He's got inefficiencies. He's a great shot stopper. And I've always said he's a great shot stopper. He's very confused on when he should come out and when he should not come out.
He's Jekyll and Hyde. And those balls in the air, he had great penalty shootouts against Japan and Brazil, and we're going to remember him for this. But as a constant and through his career, he's going to be Levy's going to Levy, and he's going to do this shit.
Yes.
And we know he is.
And he also made some great saves, though. You know, against Turkey, there was a couple saves he made.
Yes.
In the first half, you have to give him credit. He got low, and he's a great shot stopper. But the thing is from what we've seen with the national team is guys he had a great World Cup, so guys get this credit, and once they get that credit, they don't get moved. They're cemented as a starter, and it's the same with Kovacic, unfortunately, who I saw giving very little. You know, he plays at Manchester City. He should be a leader there now.
Yeah.
Brozovic, okay, he went to Saudi Arabia. He's not playing top football. Modric is not playing every game. Kovacic has to be the man there.
Invisible.
And he's not showing it.
Invisible.
So what do you do? Do you bench him? Do you bring in? Do you put Maier there? Do you bring in a young guy like Baturina, who's been doing very well at Dinamo?
Yes, to all the above. I've been for 5 years. I hate Kovacic playing alongside Modric, because Kovacic is always in Modric's shadow on the field, and he can never outplay Modric. That's my thing. They play the same position. And I got in a fight with Romeo Jozak around this. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Here we go. It's the same conversation every time. It'll be his midfield one day. It's not his midfield yet. But let's talk about the wings. Let's talk about the striker situation. Dumpster fire.
Horrible.
Dumpster fire.
Horrible decision. When you look at it, our first option is Kramaric, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second and third were Petkovic and Livaja. Mm-hmm. So Musa's basically our fourth striker here, and he's basically a bench player.
Yep.
He comes off the bench at Benfica. You got a guy, Roko Šimić, young guy, scoring goals at Red Bull Salzburg.
In
Champions League.
And with momentum behind him.
In good form. Why didn't he call him? Why didn't he let him start one game? See what he has to offer. See the energy that he brings. Because Musa started the first game, he did nothing. He started the second game, he did nothing. I mean, look, it was just a waste.
Ante, Pete. Do you think, in Dalic's eyes, before this week started, Wednesday night in Osijek, he's going, there's a possibility of us grabbing 0 points this week.
No.
No way.
And that's why. No way. And is that a little irresponsible? Is it arrogant?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. It's being irresponsible as a coach because you have to always coach to the worst case scenario. What if this happens? Where are my life jackets? And what do we do? So I think your coaching strategy has to be, okay, I'm coming in with a lot of new players. I basically have five guys who don't regularly start who are on this team. I have strikers who aren't really in their right positions, like Musa playing center forward and did nothing. Lover on the wing. He's not a winger. I mean, I thought Brekalo had moments in the Turkey game.
He did. He probably played best for us.
Yeah, I thought he had moments in the Turkey game. The problem is you can't have one guy who's 50% consistent.
He also didn't get a lot of service. He didn't get a lot of balls into space where he could do something, you know?
And that was the other thing, too. What was the plan of play? We played so slow that Turkey...
Yeah, it was too easy.
Yeah. I mean, we never sent a long ball for a counter. We never tried to counter against Turkey. Turkey, by the time we passed the ball to the right, to the left, to the left, to the right, we had 600 and something passes.
But then it would end up at Livakovic anyways.
Yeah, exactly. We played what I call net negative soccer. Net negative soccer is when you pass and you pass and you pass yourself to death and you play it back to your keeper because you can't get forward.
We played exactly into their hands. They knew what we were going to do. They know that we like to touch the ball, and they were ready for that.
And they let us do that.
And they were ready for it.
I mean, the way to beat Spain, let them pass themselves to death.
Yeah.
It's the exact same way.
Sit and counter. That's how we beat them in Euro 2016.
Exactly. You sit and you wait.
Beat them on the counter.
And you know what? You let them put themselves into almost a coma.
Get out of position.
Yeah. A passing coma. Yeah. And then you strike.
And then they countered. Look at all three goals.
All of them were counters.
Goals. Turkey, Wales, and then that second one. But look. Modric is the engine of Croatian football the last decade. Can we all agree on that?
Of course.
I'll remember this. Slavonac, our good friend Slavonac from Canada, told me this years ago, and it stuck to my head, and it's the truth. This Croatian team goes as Perisic does. He attacks on the left side. He plays fearless. And if Modric is the engine, Perisic is our transmission.
Perisic also had a very poor World Cup. His worst tournament.
He did.
His worst tournament for me.
I'm talking across the decade.
Since he started.
But you know what?
We still did well.
We still did well. But listen, who this past week ran at the opposing defense? Who was swinging in balls? Nothing happened. Nothing happened from the wings. We just kicked it back. We miss Perisic, and a player like Perisic, who, with him retiring, is going to take that mantle? Who?
The problem is we have so many good offensive center mids, and we just don't have wingers right now. We're talking about Perisic. We have Orsic out, too. Orsic was our next best option.
Yes.
He's out to
everyone's
Orsic,
everyone.
The third guy.
Everyone.
So that means our top three left wingers are out.
Yes.
You know?
But in a week that you need one or two points against Wales, we're not playing England. We're not playing Brazil here. We're playing fucking Wales and Turkey at home in Osijek at Opus. I feel bad for that stadium because the stadium looked awesome, by the way.
It was a bad opening for the national
right?
team.
That's... But we can't score one goal at home, and you just told me this stat. This is the first Euro qualifying match that we ever lost on Croatian soil.
Ever.
Crazy.
Since
that's pretty damn good.
1994,
it's pretty damn good.
We never lost a Euro qualifier until... That's amazing.
Amazing and a shame. Like I said, a shame again.
That we went into
a weekend where we were kind of, you know, we controlled everything.
Destiny
was in our hands. And not only do we not control everything, now the destiny's not in our own hands.
Guys, before this, we went
10 points in four games, right? I mean, three wins and a tie. But that's
we went four games, gave up, conceded one goal, and that was that dumb goal at Polju at the last second to the Welsh. Like, just dumb little mistakes. I'm thinking, oh, we're going to go top spot. We just need one win this week against whoever. We're going to cruise into November against Latvia and Armenia. And this shit happens.
Guys, we basically played to play Turkey into the Euros.
I know.
If Turkey makes it to Euros, they have a small Croatian flag on their jersey because...
They're locked in already.
They're locked in.
They're locked in.
Turkey cannot get knocked out now, guys. The only guys who get knocked out are us and Wales.
Yeah.
Wales is not winning their next two games against Armenia.
And Armenia still has an outside chance.
Yes, they have to beat... They have to be
and us
in the last game.
So guys, let me put something in perspective about European Cup qualifying right now. Okay, right now, if you were to play tomorrow, Albania and Chechnya are in. Albanians, think about that.
No. Who's the second country?
Chechnya.
Who? Czech Republic.
No.
Not Chechnya.
No, Chechnya.
Who's Chechnya?
I have no idea.
Who the hell's Chechnya?
They're
Which group are they in?
They're in the group with Albania.
It must be a Czech. No,
I'm looking at it.
Must be the Czech Republic.
Albanian Czech Republic.
Yeah. Czech Republic. Okay.
I thought you said Chechnya right now for all you listeners out there. Chechnya doesn't have a national team.
So the Czech Republic, I think the Hungarians are in.
Hungarians beat Serbs twice.
Right.
They beat the Serbs home and away.
Serbia won today against Montenegro, which I heard was a battle. I didn't see the game, but I heard that was a battle. Serbia technically is in right now.
Serbia is just about in.
Just about in.
Look, Pete. In this new dumb format, I love the old format. If 16 teams make it, you can make it a group, you're in the quarterfinals. This watered-down 24-team tournament format, half of Europe makes it. And if we can't fucking make it to Euros, like, how embarrassing is that?
Yeah, it sucks.
How embarrassing is that?
It sucks, especially for this amazing run that Dali just had. And
with Modric.
He got us to 3 tournaments, 2 medals, and we advanced in the last Euros. So, I mean, his tenure has been incredible. Look, to end it this way would be, I would be very disappointed.
It's not.
Be very disappointed.
It's not. Even if Wales figures out 2 wins and they automatically qualify, we can still
listen. We just need to go out. We need to go out and get our 6 points and let everything else
play itself out.
Play out. That's it.
All right. Look.
And Dalic needs to do. You know, we had some tough moments after the 2018 World Cup. He had to deal with a generation change. He lost Mandzukic.
Rakitic, Subasic left.
Čorluk, a lot of these older guys, he lost.
He had to deal with Rebic's attitude.
And you go to Spain and lose 6-0 that first game. I mean, he dealt with some shit, you know? So now he's got to deal with some more stuff.
This isn't the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Listen, I've seen worse. I've seen worse. This is not the worst week we've had.
I listened to his interview with Stanic. I don't know. Did you watch that, Pete? It was really good.
No.
Really good. Hour-long interview.
Basically
his whole story about how he ended up going to the Middle East to coach Dalic.
Oh, okay.
And he always said it was kind of, 2 step forward, 1 step back. Mm-hmm. That's how his whole career's gone.
Yeah.
And this is a step back for him. So hopefully we can...
A baby step back.
Hopefully we can go
a baby
forward,
step back. You know? I think in a month, when we're back together in a month, I'll break out the matcha. I got it upstairs. I got it in a Jana bottle. And I'm going to go, remember... We were pissed off that week, but everything's okay.
Listen, I think Dalic knows what he has to do, and the players. I think the players are very disappointed. They know how much this means to all the Croatian people, and I think this is going to give us a push forward.
I agree.
That's what I'm really hoping.
I agree. But look, if in this weird hypothetical situation that Dalic, Modric, and Perisic don't get their swan song after all this, just what a shame.
I know.
Just what a shame.
It is a shame. That's really what I'm... I'll be honest with you guys. We've had our share of great runs in big tournaments, World Cups, the last 2 World Cups. A little bit disappointing in the Euros. Nations League, I think we should have won that. That would have been a great way to crown off a little bit to Luka and what he's done for this team over his entire lifetime. Mm-hmm. But... That's my big concern. My concern is that we have some big players who will not be in a Croatian national jersey come 2025.
Yeah.
And, for me, it's almost the passing of the guard. You have to have, all of these young players wouldn't have a uniform to step into, wouldn't have any kind of bragging rights or bravado. I mean, if you tell people that you're playing for the Croatian national team now, guys, that was like telling people 25 years ago that you were playing for the Brazilian national team.
Yeah. Or Italy or England.
Or any superpower.
Big countries.
We are now, de facto, by our performances, we are, and I'm not joking, we are considered a soccer superpower. People know who we are. There is an expectation.
The bar is very high.
That's right. There is an expectation now.
We move the bar.
I wouldn't call us a superpower until we get a piece of silverware.
But we're in the hunt. We're so close.
We're in the hunt. I'll give you the hunt.
People who see red checkers now expect a good game. They say this Croatia team 100%. Has fight in them. 100%. They're not going to give up. That's what bothered me this weekend. We had no fight.
Yeah.
We had no fight.
Where does that come from?
No heart. No.
Yeah. And that's disappointing because that is basically, to me, the Croatian national team is all about spirit and fight.
Yes.
That's what we stand for, guys.
That's our thing.
That's what's our foundation.
That's something those statisticians can't measure.
That's right. There's no number.
You can't measure that in statistics.
No, there's no number.
Like you can always measure in baseball what a guy averages.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
You can't
slide tackles.
Heart,
speed, going up, running at him, pressing.
50-50 ball, you know. Yeah, you
right. In the 91st minute, who's running for that ball? Yeah.
But this is my thing, guys. This is my thing. We played in first gear. We never got out of the driveway this week. I think Dalit just went, look, take it easy. We're going to get a point or two. We never came out of the locker room with any energy.
I don't know.
When do we play like that?
We haven't, but I don't know that the coach came out specifically and said that. We played like that.
Pete, I need to justify this. We played like, yeah,
but I don't think a coach would come out. I don't think any coach would come out and say to the team, hey, listen, you know what? Put the brakes on. We could take it easy in this game. Every coach
says the way that I see Dalit's coaches is he's very careful to attack because he doesn't want to leave himself open to counters. And I can understand that because you see a lot of the games that we play, once we get scored on, we come and we come out and we attack and we usually get a goal. So he's very cautious, mm-hmm. very cautious. Mm-hmm. But when you get scored against first, like we did in these two games, everything changes.
What's new though?
I feel
we don't start playing until we get scored on. That's been the narrative for the past 5 years.
No, we play. We play. We played in Holland. We played. We got scored against, but we play. We play. I mean, in Spain, it was 0-0 until we had the penalties.
Cup. Brazil, Spain, 2018 World Cup. You guys were there. All we did was get scored on first.
But we played though. We played. We had chances. We created opportunities. We attacked. In these two games, we didn't do any of that.
We didn't do anything. But who was supposed to do something? This is what I meant by one player stepping up. But Ekelo kind of tried a little bit against Turkey. Nothing happened. Musa got no service. I want to talk about Musa versus Beljo in a second. Then we'll bring in Šimić and the rest of the young guys. No camaraderie in the midfield by Modric and Brozovic. They looked like they were 40 and 30. You know what I mean? They showed their age this week.
They showed their age.
The defense looked in shambles. We could talk about Vida starting against Wales. Like what are we doing here?
Yeah,
what are we doing?
That was a strange decision. I mean, I know the guy is starting in Greece and you know, but he brought him in as he wanted some more leadership in the back line.
I think so. I think
that's
so.
That's what he said. He literally said.
I think maybe that wasn't the worst call Dalic made because Vida's going to give you at least that security. Vida's not going to try to play a guy on the midfield line and know he's going to beat him in a foot race at his age. Vida's going to give him 10 yards,
he's going to be
a smarter player.
He got caught, but if we're talking about building for the future here, you have Gvardiol in the center.
As I said, Livakovic should have never come out for that ball. If he doesn't, that's going to be a really hard shot for him to put away, in my opinion.
By it now.
So I don't blame Vida, you know? I just think that what Dalic did is he took the formation that we normally play and he just put these new guys in
just
and expected
in.
Us to play.
Yeah.
It's not like that, you know?
That's actually well put. It wasn't a plug and play. He did a plug and play and you can't do it.
You know, he's like, okay, in Perisic's position, you put Brekalo. Those are two totally different players.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think we haven't talked about the left back situation. I just don't think Barišić and Sosa are good enough.
No, I don't think.
Barišić shouldn't even be on our bench.
Listen, they're not good enough.
Was Juranovic good enough? The right back?
No, he's had his moments.
Listen, we know what Juranovic is capable of.
Right.
He can defend. He can run.
Right.
He can get forward. He can push forward. He can get around guys and swing the ball in. Barišić, all I see is back passes when he gets the ball. I don't see any nothing going forward.
How is he legitimately starting for us?
So what I saw a few people talk about was why don't we put Guardiola at left back, which makes sense.
Who else put him at left back this season?
Guardiola. So he can play left back. Why not put him at left back? We were talking about this before the pod. We said Croatia went to France. First time we ever beat France, 1-0. Mm-hmm. We had Erlić, Šutalo starting in the back. Mm-hmm. And we had Budimir up top.
Yep.
Budimir, for me, is a better striker than Musa. That's my opinion. And you know I've been high on Budimir for a long time. Now he's a big target man. I like those big target men. Croatia's always played.
We need that. We
played a lot with
Mandžukić.
It doesn't matter if
you
can't get service. Mandžukić got service.
Right.
Musa got one cross in the box this week.
Yeah, but when you have a guy that who's confident in there, you know he's. Did Musa ever get close to a ball?
Musa cannot play with his back to goal. He's not physically strong. I know. Budimir is a huge guy, man.
I was a big.
He can collect the ball. He can lay it off for people running through.
Now
I don't know what Musa.
Hold on, Zoric. Are we on the Budimir train now, or are we going to talk about the younger guys? We missed the Budimir train.
In this situation. If you don't call Šimić, then I think you should call Budimir before Beljo. That's my opinion. Why did he call Beljo?
Beljo should have had a goal first off.
Exactly. And what happened?
And he played. Well, he shit the bed.
Exactly.
Shit the bed.
Exactly.
He doesn't do that at Augsburg. He probably scores two goals if he's in the.
Listen, he had the best chance of the game. Inexperience showed. He hit it right at the keeper.
That's right.
5 yards. So bad. 5 yards away.
Right.
So look, speaking of these, because we could talk formation all day. Did you guys hear what Dalic said in his post game after Wales? He had a very cryptic message, going, "I will now call up new players, assuming that's for November and two must win games." What the hell is he talking about when I'm going to call new players? The young guys or guys that are injured and coming back up, like Ivan Ušić? I don't understand what that means.
Listen, I think we're going to see some new faces. I wouldn't be surprised if Šimić is there. I wouldn't be surprised if either Sučić or Baturin are there. I think he might change something in that midfield. But that left wing, that's a mystery.
Who are we going to put there?
When's Ivanušić coming back? I don't know.
I'm reading my Google Translate in Dutch, by the way, is getting better and better every day. But they said he should be back in the next 2 weeks.
I mean,
from that ankle roll.
Do you try Vlašić there? Like, I know Vlašić is not a winger either, but he's played there before, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you got Pašalić. He likes putting Pašalić on one wing. He's not a true winger, but he always finds himself in these good opportunities.
But I want to know who is Dalic talking about in this cryptic message, "I'm going to start new players," and when? Next month, Euro, if we make it?
Well, maybe.
If Šimić is continuing to score, I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the first options, whether it's starting or off the bench. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think as a coach, you always have to look at a player who's playing well in Europe and who's doing well as a club team.
Ride the momentum.
Ride
the momentum.
So yeah, exactly. Ride the momentum with that player. So Šimić should probably be given a chance if he's scoring goals, and he's scoring goals at a decent level, right? So, but when I think when Dalic is talking about new players, I think the word new and different might be where I don't know that he's talking about new players, like new players that
new
we don't
blood.
Know about. Yeah,
guys,
new blood.
Haven't debuted yet. For
yeah, yeah. I don't think he's going to do that. I think that would be really risky to do in two must-win games.
Our next game is against Latvia.
Yeah.
We don't have Kramaric.
Kramaric is out. Petkovic, who knows what his deal is. Livaja left the team.
Šimić just
Musa didn't do shit. Beljo shit the bed.
Yeah. There's
We have to have guys to score, guys. I'm telling you, whether it's Latvia or Armenia.
Who's going to score for
us? Armenia is going to be a handful if we don't have a goal scorer.
Listen, I said it before. I said Roko Šimić, for me, out of all the strikers, he's the most all-around talented. He's not a big striker that like Budimir. I'm talking. He's not a big body, but he's fast.
He's gritty.
Good with the ball. He can score with both feet. He can put it away in the air.
Well, he's hungry. I've been watching the Champions
League. He's intense. He has a lot of intensity, and I like that. He's fire, you know?
Yeah. So if you, to both of you, tomorrow we play Latvia, who do you play as the number 9? You get to pick any Croatian international you want.
For me, it would have to, honestly, I would throw Šimić in the fire.
To start?
Yeah.
Start, not off the bench.
It's Latvia. Come on, they just lost 4-0 to Turkey. Let him play. Let him score a goal or two, and then he's ready to go for Armenia.
The way we play this week, man, I don't care which nation's flag you put out there. We didn't play well. But I think next month we're gonna know that we're gonna have to put our asses to the fire and get 6 points, because I don't think Wales is gonna beat both Armenia and Turkey. I don't think so. So I think if we win both games, Armenia at home in Zagreb in Latvia, we qualify automatically for Euro 2024. You guys, first, do you think we will both, Croatia will beat Armenia and Latvia and get 6 points?
I think we always do our best when our back's against the wall. We've never lost in the five playoffs that we played. We're 5-for-5. So whenever times are really tough, usually we get together, the guys figure it out.
We play best with our backs to the wall. And we always have. We always will.
I think they're gonna do it for Dalic too. I think the guys have a massive respect for Dalic, and they want to make up for how shit they were these last two games.
So Zoric, you think we get 6 points in November?
I do. I think we're gonna qualify.
Okay.
And once we get to a tournament, it's a totally different mentality.
Sure. Well, that's in the summer and everything.
Mentality changes.
Pete, do we get 6 points in November? Oh, you're thinking.
You know what? I don't. We'll qualify. We will qualify.
I want to paint the picture of how we get to qualify.
But whether we get 6 points and qualify, I don't know.
Well, I'm saying automatically.
Oh, automatically. Okay. Yeah.
If we match what Wales does, Wales has a tiebreaker on us now.
Right.
Right. So.
Right.
So we have the same points.
So
as
what
Wales.
Is what is the we have? We have the asterisk in this European qualifying because we have the Nations League and that gives us something.
That's a back door.
Okay. So tell me what that back door is.
Three spots. The three Euro 2024 spots are given to three Nations League qualifying teams that did not qualify automatically through Euro qualifying. So League A gets a team, League B gets a team, and League C gets a team.
So we would be in. We would have to get in.
No, you still have to play a two-team playoff. Because we were the best-ranked team, if it goes to that, we would play Estonia first because they were the League D champions. And then this is where it gets super tricky, and we can't talk about it right now because there's way too many scenarios. We would play the winner of Italy or Poland as it stands now to go to Euro. There you go.
That would be crazy.
Us or Italy?
Italy to get into the Euro?
Fucking hell.
Hey, guys, talk about another team who's spiraling out of control, Poland. I mean, those guys, did they tie Malta the other day? I think they tied Malta?
No, they're in bad shape. Italy's in bad shape. Denmark was 1-1 with San Marino today. Ukraine was 1-1 with Malta for a second today. These smaller teams are learning how to play. They're bunkering, and there are no more 8-0 games. There aren't.
Except if you're England, Serbia, U21, because just beat them 9-1.
Nice. I like that. I like that name drop right there. But look. The boards on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on the website this week, I've never seen so. There's more comments this week than there were for the World Cup because everyone's losing their fucking minds. Keyboards and are flying.
Listen, everyone was ready for at least 4 points. Everyone was. Oh,
two would have been fine.
A win and a tie.
Two would have been fine.
We're good. But
look, Zoric.
We were cruising and now we're not. That's just what
why.
It is.
Why? But like, why? Why can't we just kind of like
happen under Čačić? It happened under
Kovač.
Under Štimac. Happened under
everyone.
Kovač. Happened under Bilić. Happened under Čiro. It's just. Something in our fucking crate. We're a little crazy.
Look. The three of us have been around Croatian football and watching this team forever. I haven't missed a minute of an international game, friendly qualifier or tournament since 2005. I haven't. This is not the worst scenario we've ever been in qualifying. You remember when I yelled at the team and I got called a lot of bad names? World Cup 2018 qualifying. This is when I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is when Mamić was hot. What's going on?
We were going down. We're you know.
Guys, Pete, Ante, look, this is not the end of the world.
We were a hot mess.
This was not the end of the world. But look, after a hot, basically perfect start through the first half of qualifying in 2018, where we went to the World Cup final and played France to end qualifying, we lost to Iceland 1-0 in Iceland on that corner kick, free kick ball. I remember that. After that, we barely beat Kosovo 1-0 on Croatian soil.
Uh-huh.
After that game, we lose to Turkey 1-0 in Istanbul.
No way, yeah.
Right? So now we have 3 points in three games, and then we tie Finland 1-1.
That was
1-1 in Rijeka.
That was when we had one game left. Ukraine away, must win.
Must win. Must win. A draw, no one goes through, must win, and it came through. But for four straight games.
Crazy situation. Imagine that. Imagine you tie that game, and we would have never had that.
Then we still have to go to a playoff after that.
I know.
Against the Greeks. But guys, lost to Iceland, tied Finland 1-1. Barely beat Kosovo by a goal, lost to Turkey 1-0. That was the worst four-game span in qualifying we've ever had.
And we fired a coach during that span.
Yes, we did. The TV repairman for you, Lebo.
And they say that They say they coached. They called. I think they said they coached. They called three or four guys before Dolich. They all said no.
It was a dumpster fire. Because it was a wreck.
Matt, you go coach one game, you lose, and then what? You look like an idiot.
Yeah. Right, and you're out.
Dolich took it. He took it, and thank God he did, because he changed the whole course of our football history.
Mm-hmm. He did.
But look, after
he was sent from God. That was a blessing.
But look, Kramaric came through. That was the two-goal Kramaric game in Kiev. After that 1-1 draw to Finland, we did not lose a competitive match until the World Cup final.
It's amazing.
And look at what everything else Dalic has done for this team. He had to deal with the Rebiches and the Brozoviches and Hotheads and the Levias and Kalinic's.
There's always issues in the locker room, you know? And for the most part, I think he handled them well. I think he could have done a little bit better in the Levi situation, but I think that was a real dick move for Levi, not to say, you know what, right after that situation, he should have said, I'm leaving, and that's it. For him to call him and then not come.
Who knows what really happened?
Especially when you need the guy. I mean, he would have started.
So apparently, Levi and Dalic are friendly, very friendly off the field. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's been a relationship there from before. I don't know why or where, but I've heard this from several people now that Levi and Dalic. So I can't believe Dalic wouldn't have not have known, or Levi would have just surprised him.
What if it wasn't his call?
Maybe. If
football is not politics, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that the Croatian Federation would let the coaches choose their players, but I do know there's politics. Listen. You know, part of being...
Pete, Borna Barisic is playing for us. There's got to be some other stuff going on for that decision.
Yeah.
Someone's pockets are getting filled around here.
No, it's if you play for the Croatian national team now and you get that international exposure, you know, if you're a highfalutin agent in Croatia and you want
Pete,
your...
I would have rather put you out there than Barisic. doing the Thanksgiving 100-meter race for charity? What are we doing?
We should do
have
that.
Have you been training?
No.
You promised me a year ago that you were going to train for 100 meters.
I'll still run. I'll do it.
I think you do 100 meters. I do 100-meter hurdles. I think that's
That's not fair.
I could run around the block right now, no problem. What do you think? I'm not fast? What do you think?
I don't know.
Molasses?
I don't know.
Does Pete really think he could beat me in a 100-meter race? Zodic. I need you to be...
Who's tighter? No comment.
Oh, my God. See? No politics. Let's do it.
I'll do it.
We'll film it and everything.
You know what we should do? You know, people on the... Hey, guys, in the pod, I'm 61 years old. I used to be an athlete. Anta, how old are you now?
Shit, 37.
37. Okay, so he's almost half my age. We're going to do a 100-yard run Thanksgiving weekend. You know what? Everybody should bet and donate. We'll put something on the website. Okay. Bet on who's going to win. Donate it to a good cause. People, it's $10 a bet.
Zodish, I'm minus $150,000 in Vegas right now on this one. Bet your mortgage on it. That's bet right. Your HELOC on it.
Don't bet your mortgage, but...
You're the favorite, just on age. You know?
Let's have some fun with this.
I'm going to pop my other Achilles right out of the block, exactly. And you're just going to tortoise in the hair. You're going to carry me to the hospital, for fuck's sake.
Oh, man. Jesus Christ.
Oh. That's okay. Hey, guys, you know what? We have to laugh after this weekend, because if you can't laugh at yourself, you're in trouble. So, you know, Croatia has to look in the mirror and has to say, hey, guys, what did we just do? I mean,
they'll be fine.
Yeah,
they'll be fine.
Well, I hope so.
They'll be fine.
I hope so.
Look, me and Zoric said we're going to win both games. Do you think we beat Latvia and Armenia in November? I want to start there. I want to pave a path here.
So we play Armenia in Zagreb?
We first play Latvia in Latvia first.
Okay. We beat them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we play Armenia last game of qualifying at Maksimir.
We always win there.
We win there.
We just beat them in Armenia 1-0. Still,
it was a close game. They're gritty. They're very gritty. They're very gritty. They're not bad.
In a must-win game, I think we need to come out and beat them. That's it.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we're going to get 6 points. If Wales drop any points in their last two games, then we automatically
Which they could easily
qualify.
Lose to Turkey.
Look, they're first.
Turkey's the best team. Turkey's playing the best soccer in that group right now.
Right now they are.
A month ago, no. But
they
right now they
beat
are.
They should have beat us in Turkey.
They could have beat us in Turkey.
Saved us, and then
Livakovic saved us in
three goals.
Our individual quality. Kovacic scored two there.
Yep.
That was a great, great game for him there. And Pašalić scored one.
Yeah.
Pašalić, man. Always getting those goals somehow.
Yeah.
They're always off the bench.
He's just a super sub, man.
He's so good at being
in the right place. He has great instincts.
All
right,
but
his best position is right behind the forward. Another guy.
All of them, right in the middle.
Behind the forward. Baturina, right behind the forward. All these guys' best positions are right behind the forward, and we have like five of them.
Wingers. We have no wingers.
No, they're all injured.
No fucking wingers.
They're all hurt.
Well, okay, but then you have to put together a game plan to... You're right. You're right about the... I didn't even think about the plug and play. Like, here you go. That's Perisic's position. That's what he did.
You just put him there. You know, it's like maybe you have to change something. You have to change the formation. You have to change the strategy.
I mean, how good... If Pep Guardiola is a 10 out of 10 manager, let's just leave him as the benchmark. What is Dalic out of 10?
Well, I mean, I think...
As a tactician.
A lot of people give him a lot of, you know... flack, but if you look at a lot of the big games, like you look at, for example, Brazil. I mean, I think we had a great plan for that game. You actually could sense that he had a plan.
He had a game plan, you know? Right.
And it worked.
We held until we.
Like we knew that we were playing a superior opponent.
Would you still be saying that if we lost some penalties?
Or if we only lose 1-0.
Because we still had a game plan. We didn't lose till overtime, and maybe guys were a little bit tired and stepped slow.
But what if his game plan against Turkey with players out are like, look, we're going to sit back, they're going to counter 0-0.
I don't think that's a plan.
And if Livakovic doesn't get caught, we're sitting here pretty going, yeah, we got the job done.
Listen, Livakovic, if they don't score that first goal, it's 0-0, and then who knows what happens, you know? That goal changes everything. So, but
that goal forces you to play a different way if you're Croatia. You have to play different. You're behind now. You have to play different.
We still didn't create.
Nothing.
You know, like you have nothing to lose. You're behind.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You have 0 points.
I was big on Musa because he's scoring almost every other week in Benfica, and just he dropped so far down my power rankings. It's not even funny. Like Bello's on top of him.
Bello on top of him is not saying a lot because Bello's bad.
I know. He's got to get balls. He didn't really have chances. You know, I remember him maybe doing a header here and there. I don't know, guys. I personally think this would have been a great opportunity. Petkovic was injured. He put him in off the bench. Mm-hmm. You could tell he was not ready to go. No, why not? Why not bring a young, hungry forward in?
Could he have?
Put in Šimić the 60th minute.
What are the UEFA rules on that? Because Šimić was never on the call-up list. How does that work?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. He should have called him up once he saw Petkovic was hurt. In my opinion, before Bello.
I thought you can only bring in players off the call-up list.
He's playing Champions League football. This guy at a bigger club.
Maybe that's what he's talking about now. Maybe he is going to bring be a little fearless.
I hope he sees that he made a mistake, and we need some fresh blood in this team.
Look, if you're these veterans and he starts calling up young guys and starts playing them.
I'm really high on Baturina. I think from what I've seen, excellent player. I think he's going to have a great career.
It's still early. He's playing in the Prva Liga. Let's wait until he leaves.
Great career.
Croatian soil.
Bending free kicks on England before the Euros. He was our best player in the Euros.
I'm skeptical. You know why I'm skeptical? Guy's named Halilovic.
Come on, man. Different.
I know, but I'm just saying they're both young guys. Until they leave Croatia and start producing outside of Croatia, that's when...
This guy's going to go for 20 to 30 million, not 5 like Halilovic went for. You're talking about a different class of player.
Okay. We're going to earmark this conversation.
No problem.
I want him to be good. I watch him for Dinamo. He's great. He's fantastic. But let me see what he does outside of the Prva Liga. And U21 games, for God's sakes, against who they play. Greece, and they played some scrub team today, Bulgaria or something. I forget. Look, going back to qualifying. But we're going to get 6 points. Do we agree on that?
Yes.
Pete, Ante, consensus, yes.
Yes.
Wales has to go to Armenia first.
That's a hard game.
And Armenia's still in. If they win,
right,
they're level on points with Wales, and everything's still to play for in the last game.
Right.
They're going to give it their all.
I think the Armenians, that's going to be a hard game in Armenia.
The crowd's going to be into it.
That could be a tie.
We'll see.
If they drop there, that's huge for us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then depending on what happens
in that
game.
And then it's in our hands for the last game.
Then it's in our hands.
Yeah.
But just know, and then we host Armenia.
And Turkey only plays one game that weekend, right?
One game. And they go two Wales.
And they'll be fresh. They'll be very fresh.
They'll be fresh, but also this new structure of Euro qualifying, it's based on points in your group is how you get seated in the pots and not just first or second.
So they're going to be fighting for points.
Even though they're qualified,
They have a coach that just came in. He's also looking to prove himself. This guy wants to win games. And he beat us, and he impressed the federation. This guy, Montella, he was a good Italian striker. I remember him playing for Roma. He was coaching in Turkey, and then they picked him up to be their coach. And, I'm sure he wants to close out with a win.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So with everything, with all our predictions right now, in a month we're sitting here with Rakia qualified for Euro 2024. Is that what I'm hearing?
Hopefully.
We're going to be in the semifinals of the Euro. That's what Dalic does. He gets us to at least the semifinals.
Oh, we went from a meltdown this week after to that, semifinals of Euro.
After that, we'll see. You know, it would be.
I see Pete's brow over here. Pete's sweating bullets over here. Dalic saying that. You're sweating bullets.
You know what's funny is we've never really made a deep run in the Euros.
Yeah, Euros hasn't been our thing. World Cup has been our thing.
Eight's the best, and that was to Turkey when we got knocked out.
We've never made it past the quarterfinals.
Last eight was Germany, too, in 96, our first one.
Yeah.
That was the last, because back then there was only 16 teams.
Yeah.
We've never made it to the semifinals of Euro. In my opinion, before they expanded to 24, I hate the 24-team format, Euro was a better tournament all around than the World Cup. You had Brazil and Argentina in there, and it's a party.
Yeah.
I mean, simple as that. Yeah. You don't get your Australias and your Costa Ricas and your.
When it was 16, it was very.
Remember Euro 4? Look at our group in Euro 2012. Ireland, okay. Spain and Italy. Who was in that final? Spain and Italy.
Yep.
Monster tournament.
Yeah.
Monster tournament.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, we're sitting here. We're cool. We had a couple beers. How was the beers? You had a little Stella Artois, a little Pacifico. Yeah,
good. Feel good.
All right. I think we're going to sit here in a month. And we're going to be fine because this is what we do. We've been around the block enough to know that we're always going to shoot the shit and absolutely crumble one or two qualifying games, and then we bounce back. I don't see us not winning both games next month. And even if we do, as an emergency hatch route, we would play Estonia in March and then most likely Italy or Poland or something like that. We don't know yet to go to Euro as a Nations League backdoor. Imagine if we needed a backdoor Euro through the Nations League.
Hey guys, Yanisevic got a wild card to Wimbledon. He won it. So
Look at
Denmark. Denmark in 1992 finished behind Yugoslavia. They were all on vacation already. They get a phone call saying Yugoslavia is not playing.
I remember that.
You guys got to come out, and they ended up winning it.
Yep.
How crazy is that?
It's fucking nuts.
That's
great. That story is great because there was no pressure on them. Nobody expected them to do anything.
No.
Because they already left. Guys were in Spain, on the beach, all over the place. They were all over the world.
They're like, you guys are
they were all over the world. And in 5 days, they got the group together. They flew in. They started playing games.
What a story, right?
That's a great story.
Did they all vacation together in the same spot?
No. They were all over the world. They were all over the world.
All over. You know how it is. Soccer players, summertime.
Yeah. They're all over the world.
They all have money. They can, their wives want to go here, there. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Ought to be a football player.
The wives weren't happy, but.
The wags.
The guys were like,
in 92, they actually had summers off. There weren't anything going on in the summer. Yeah. There weren't 65 different tournaments.
No U.S. summer tours?
Yeah, there's no U.S. summer tours going on in 92.
You
there was nothing.
3 months off?
You took 3 months
come
off?
Back in August.
Exactly. And that's why, now it's crazy.
Modern football, not anymore.
Well, modern football is about the modern dollar.
Squeeze that lemon.
Yep.
Squeeze that lemon.
Yeah.
Pete, when are you guys bringing Boca back, man?
I know.
That was pretty cool when you guys brought them.
Yeah.
To play Galaxy, right?
Galaxy, Portland Timbers, and Seattle Sounders.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the first time we really hung out. It was 2012, I believe.
In Manhattan Beach at the hotel.
Yeah, at Manhattan Beach.
2010.
That was after the Inter Milan.
Yes.
Inter Milan and was it Bayern?
You know, it'd be a fun game? Huh? A Boca Hajduk friendly. In split, that would be.
You know what the problem is? Somebody has to pay Boca, and Hajduk won't do it.
Yeah, like a lot.
You have to pay. I think Boca, you need to probably pay them now almost $2 million to come and play a game.
Really? Yeah. Plus airfare, plus hotel,
everything.
So that's
just
on top of all the other costs.
Everything else. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's expensive.
But I remember we watched the.
By the way, they're in the Copa Libertadores. They're in the final, right? They're playing at the end of this month, November. They're playing in November. They're in the final. They beat Grêmio. They beat in Brazil in a shootout, actually. They won the second leg.
No, Pete, I know your brother lives down there.
Yeah.
Have you been to Le Bon Moyen?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I've never been.
Oh, guys, that's unbelievable.
Let's
go. The best game to ever go to, one of the best derbies in the world, is them against Boca River. And not at River Stadium, at Boca Stadium. Because that stadium is so small. And it's all concrete, and
it's like a horseshoe.
It's a horseshoe, and it just goes straight down. It's like, and the thing is that you can actually feel the stadium. Like if you're not bouncing, you feel the stadium
That's
bouncing.
Crazy.
Like
no, I've been to Buenos Aires, but I was invited to a game, but this Croatian family I knew was having a barbecue, so I ended up,
You gotta go to the barbecue.
I'll tell you what, they're passionate about their soccer down there too. It's pretty crazy.
Did you see Buenos Aires when Messi and the team came back?
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
Madness. They said like 2 million people.
Oh, it was more than that, I think. I think it was more.
You couldn't move.
I think it was like 10 million people.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Why don't we go? We'll go down there for opening of World Cup 2030.
Yeah,
and then we'll go to a little Africa.
So guys, is that really happening? Yes. They're holding on three different continents.
Yes.
That's the craziest thing.
Yes.
FIFA's really getting out of control.
Yes. Did you see this thing today? I saw somebody sent me that there's not going to be any World Cup games in LA. None.
No, SoFi. They would probably move it to Rose Bowl.
Oh, really?
Kroenke's playing hardball.
So there will be games in LA, just not at
SoFi.
They
have to. It's already a city.
Okay.
It would move to Rose Bowl. Kroenke's saying, I'm not going to change.
He doesn't want to make the field wider and get rid of some stands or something.
Right. He doesn't want to change the field.
Pay for the grass or something.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
a few
yeah.
things. I think he's playing hardball because he has nothing better to do.
Right.
That guy's been fucking successful. Look, he owns Arsenal. He owns the Denver Nuggets, who just won the title.
Wow.
He owns the Rams, who just won the title two years ago.
Right.
Impressive.
Just Arsenal. He just went for Arsenal.
He owns SoFi.
And he owns. He built all that. Him and Ballmer built all that himself.
Yeah.
The new stadium's going to open up in a year.
Yeah.
In Inglewood.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That's crazy, man.
But yeah, the World Cup in 2030, because it's the 100th anniversary, they have to start.
They're starting Uruguay. It was the first World
Uruguay,
Cup.
Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina. Mm-hmm. But if you're in that group and you have to play 4 or 5 days later and you have to move over 4 or 5 time zones, that sucks.
What's really funny is that's why I heard that they love this World Cup in Qatar, because they were only playing in like 2 cities. They didn't have to travel.
Yeah, no travel.
Yeah.
Everything was so easy. Like
so
Russia,
close.
You got to fly hours
to
another city.
Right.
The U.S. You have to go to L.A., New York, Chicago.
Yeah, the U.S. is a big country to fly too.
I'll never forget this when I was covering the Clippers and I was talking to Zubats and all his guys back there. And even though these guys fly first class and even though they have all the luxury stuff and they're in the NBA, they would have a back-to-back road game. I was talking to like Shadich, I remember Philadelphia, and he's like, hey, I gotta go. We gotta go on the team bus. We gotta fly to Phoenix or something.
Yeah.
He's like, I hate it. I'm like, why? You're just going to Phoenix? He's like, no, we have a game tomorrow. We just played our asses off right now. By the time we get to LAX, it's midnight. By the time we get on the plane, it's 1 o'clock.
Oh my God.
3 o'clock in Phoenix. You get in bed at 5, 6 in the morning, sleep for 4 hours, back at the arena. He's like, it messes with your schedule.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good you are. So time zones matter for these players. It's your
makes sense.
You know, all
makes
that
sense.
Stuff.
It's exhausting. Mentally.
Even for them.
Not
who
just
are,
physically, but also mentally.
Everything. Yeah. I just got back from Florida and flying east, west, east. You know this. You just
got
back to who you're partying with at the
Colin Farrell.
Guys, Pete Novakovic, Godfather. I call you the Godfather, as you should be named. Sends the group, Croatian Sports group chat a photo. You partying with Colin Farrell at a Croatian wedding last week in New York.
Yeah.
Well, how the hell did that happen?
He knows my brother. He's friends with my brother.
Your brother's in the industry, right?
Yeah, he's one. Yeah, Ant is a director and producer, and Kresham is an actor.
You guys crushed some drinks, didn't you?
You know what? No, not really.
Really?
No.
The Irish are so fun to drink with.
They're fun to drink with. Colin abstains right now.
Oh, yeah?
He abstains?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Colin Farrell.
He abstains.
You guys ever been to Ireland?
No.
Once.
Once.
Such a good time.
Good times.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they're just way cooler.
Tons of Croatians there now.
Yeah, in Dublin, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of Croatians, huh?
In Dublin, they all moved their EU, all that stuff.
EU, a lot of them went there to work. But,
yeah, big shout out to the wee little city, Dundalk, up there, border town. Been up there many times. Pints of Guinness flowing. Just like Euro 2012.
Wait, Dundalk's border town to where?
Northern Ireland.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's where the Harp Brewery used to be.
Really?
In Dundalk, Ireland. Dundalk.
And what happened?
When all the shit hit the fan in 08, they moved it to Dublin, and tens of thousands of people lost their jobs.
Wow.
It's a blue-collar town.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I've been to Ireland up there 5, 6 times. I watched when you guys were in Russia, in Moscow, for England-Croatia.
Yeah.
for the semifinal, I was in Kerry, Ireland. I was the only one at this outdoor pub, like this kind of like Tarazza pub, wearing the checkers, and people were rooting for me because you know how the Irish
are. Yeah, I have to
tell you that. I had a few tears running down my face. After Mandžukić scores that goal, I didn't pay for a fucking pint the rest of the night. People were just going, thank you for beating England. If we have to hear it's coming home one more fucking time this summer, I'm going to kill myself.
I was sitting around all the players.
They were singing that all through Moscow and all through.
Sitting around all England fans because I just bought my ticket on, you know, StubHub or whatever.
Russian StubHub.
I had no idea where I was going to be sitting.
I actually sat behind. I was behind the goal where we got scored against by what's his face
Trippier
in the first 10 minutes. And I'll tell you what, I was right behind the goal. That was a rocket.
Oh, it was a great.
He hit a rocket. Yeah. He hit a rocket. And actually, I think it might have touched Mandžukić's head in the wall, but Subotić, he had no chance.
No chance.
It was like right up in the corner. Boom.
A perfect shot.
It was a great shot. And I was like, oh shit, you know, we're in trouble. And then we play. And I was behind the goal when Mandžukić scored that goal. And there was a bunch of Croatians behind that goal. And I was soaking wet. There was so many beers flying.
Awesome.
There was flags flying. There were shirts flying. I mean, it was just, it was crazy.
What a night.
It was crazy.
You guys are both in the stadium for, I'm going to call that Croatia's biggest victory in history, if you can debate me on that all day long. Besides your wives and your kids, where do you rank that feeling when Mandžukić scores in your all-time highlights of life?
Top three?
The chills thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You win that game. And you got one game to win the World Cup.
I mean,
that feeling, walking around that city, was incredible the next few days.
It was unbelievable.
We all knew France was the favorite, but it's like, all we have to do is...
We have a chance.
We played so much better that first half.
We did.
That's whatever. We know what happened in the game.
We don't have to talk about that. Yeah. But it was...
Everybody, you know, it's funny. Everybody's given France the Euros already. I mean, I listened to SiriusXM radio today, and they're saying, like, you know, even though England's playing well right now, France has got to be the hands-down favorite. And, you know, it's...
I watched England-Italy today. England was playing some sexy football. Hey, you know what? We didn't really mention Modric a lot on this pod. Bellingham. Hey, Jude.
Great player.
Yeah.
He's the real deal.
But also,
Modric isn't starting over him at Real Madrid.
England's been building this squad now. You know?
Yeah.
For five, six years under Croatia, Southgate.
You look at Croatia when... You know what, 2008, 2010, when we started with these younger guys, Modric, Čolak, all these younger guys, were starting, you know, and they've been building that squad slowly.
They have a core. Look at them. They have.
They've been going deep.
Bellingham, Rashford, World Cup 18. Kane scores goals. He scored two today.
World Cup 18 semifinal.
Yep.
World Cup. Euro final against Italy. Losing in penalties. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've been getting results.
Yeah, no, England's done a good job. You know what England's done a good job at? This is the first time in a long time where they've kept a coach and been consistent with a coach because they always, as soon as they lose a big game.
They're letting him
work. And they've been keeping a group of players together, which I think is key in building a really good national team. You know, they haven't been going like, you know, every time, because you know what happens? Every time a new coach comes in, he brings in a whole different group of players.
And then you have to start.
And then you start all over again,
Which is more of the premiership coaching style where if you lose three
games. But England now, I think, has finally figured out, hey, listen, we have to have some consistency. We might take our bumps, but we keep one coach, we keep one philosophy, and we keep a group of players together. And I think that's what's happening with them right now. They're playing some good soccer.
I'd be scared to play England right now. They're gelling.
Yeah.
They're gelling. And I think, Zotis, you asked me this either off or on the mic last time, like, who's been a longer tenured coach outside of Dalic, which was technically 2017. Southgate, 2016 is when he picked up the gig.
Yeah.
He's been with them for 7 years now. That's when you start gelling under.
Yeah.
You need to give a coach 1 to 2 years to get rid of the trash. Start building. They're a semifinal, a final. Did they lose in the quarterfinals to France in Qatar? I think they lost to France.
France.
2-1. Yeah.
It was France. Yeah.
Yeah. Just France. France is stacked too. Shit. We'll see what happens. Look, Zoric prediction: Euro semifinals 2024.
I said we'll be there, and then after that we'll see what happens.
Look, I'm not worried about it. This is what we do. We're not Croatian if we don't pull this shit. We have to make the cardiac Croatians just roll right off the tongue.
That's true.
There's going to be a lot of Croatian fans in Germany.
Oh,
a lot.
A lot. Let's get there first.
You remember that national anthem against Brazil? That still gives me chills.
In Berlin.
When I see that video on YouTube. Itzel.
With the two brothers.
Yeah. Kovac brothers.
The Kovac brothers, man.
Born in Germany,
playing for Croatia.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
And the national anthem being blasted in a country that's not your own country.
It's pretty cool.
I'll tell you what. You know what it was like? I spoke to, at the wedding, I spoke to a couple of guys who were in Holland who went to the Nations League. And they said the game against Holland, the Croatian national anthem, you're in Holland now.
It was way louder.
Way louder.
We had 30,000 fans in there.
Way louder. And at the final, he said it was like a Croatia home game.
Yeah.
It was a Croatia home game. He goes, Spain had nothing.
My buddy from San Diego flew out. Big shout out to Mio Ćotić. Just had a baby. Hello, San Diego. But he flew out. He's like, if this is Modric's last game or if they're lifting silverware, I need to be there.
Yeah.
So props to him. So
yeah.
All right, boys. Any closing thoughts from you guys?
Don't raise your kids to be snowflakes.
I wish we could have. I wish. We're going to add that. Let's talk about that next time. You have to take a Karen baseball call for your kid today.
Yes. I had to take an emergency coaching baseball call. Because there was a coaching change.
Is that what it was? Because there was a coaching change?
There was a coaching change, and the kids needed to know.
How are we going to explain
this to our kids? Yeah, how are we going to explain this to our kids? And you know, our kids are smart enough to know something's going on. You know what? The kids don't need to know anything's going on. This is your coach. You're here to play baseball. You go to first. You go to second. You pitch. You catch. Let's do this.
Wait a second. It wasn't about playing time.
It wasn't about playing time.
Seriously?
I swear to God, it was about a coaching change.
It was just because the coach got dumped?
Coaching change.
That's it?
Yeah.
I'm a man.
Yeah. That's,
no.
Yeah.
I heard you on the call before we started the pod. I mean, you put in your 10 words.
I put my 2 cents. Hey, if the guy who owns the club decides he wants to come back and coach,
he can do whatever he wants.
It's his club.
Yep.
Karen's.
Exactly.
That lady on the phone definitely shopped at Trader Joe's for all her groceries.
Oh,
I can guarantee
you
that.
And you know what? Well, I don't want to say anything.
All right.
I don't know who listens to the pod.
Yeah.
Everyone. All right. Zodic, you got anything for us?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to these next two games. I think we're going to turn it around. I think Dalic always finds a way to turn it around. I'm looking forward to see what he's got in store.
Yeah, he needs to put his print on these next two games. He needs to work hard.
He knows this is his legacy.
Right.
Yep.
Right now.
He knows.
Yep.
I'm
pulling for him.
Yeah, I'm pulling for him too.
Huge Dalic fan.
Hey, yeah.
You guys know this. I'm a huge Dalic fan. When he got appointed coach, I was like, you know what? This guy's coaching big teams in the Middle East. He's going to the Asian Champions League final. There's something there. There's something there, and he's done wonders. So let's see what happens.
In Dalic we trust.
We have to now.
All right, guys. For Pete Novakovic, the Godfather, the Collector, Ante Zoric, Ante Kvartucir, CroatianSports.com. Matt Lebo wasn't able to join us today. I hope he's still not sulking in a corner. But hope we did you proud, Lebo. To Slavona, to Branko in Toronto, all you guys, love you. We'll do better next time.
Yep.
Bye-bye.